His ribs still hurt from what Denner had done to him. It was still hard to lie down and still hurt to breathe. His sleep brought the nightmares he had had every night since leaving the People's Palace, the nightmares of the things Denner had done to him, the nightmares he had promised her he would have. He dreamed of hanging helpless while Denner hurt him, of being powerless to stop her, of never being able to escape. He dreamed of Michael standing there, watching. He dreamed of seeing Kaelin being tortured, and Michael watching that, too. He came awake, drenched in sweat, shaking with fear, heard himself whimpering with the terror of the dreams. Sunlight was slanting sideways under the overhang of the rock. The orange sun was just breaking above the horizon to the east. Richard stood and stretched the cramps from his muscles, surveying the dawn of the first day of winter. He was high on a mountain. The surrounding peaks thrust themselves above a blanket of clouds below that stretched off before him to the eastern horizon like a sea of gray tinged in orange. The sea of clouds was unbroken except for one thing, the People's Palace. Touched by the sunlight in the far distance, it rose proud on its plateau, standing above the clouds, waiting for him. A cold feeling ran through his gut. It was a long way off. He had misjudged how far he was from it. It was a lot farther than he had thought. He had no time to waste. When the sun was at its zenith, the boxes could be opened. As he turned, movement caught his eye. The horse let out a terrified neigh. Howls split the morning silence. Heart hounds! Richard drew his sword as they poured over the rock. Before he could start for the horse, the hounds took it down. In a dead run, more came for him. Frozen in shock for only an instant, he leapt up onto the rock he had slept under. The hounds, teeth snapping, bounded up the rock toward him. He cut down the first wave, then retreated farther up the rock as more hounds came for him. Richard swung the sword, cutting through them as they advanced, snarling and howling. It was like a sea of tan fur coming for him in waves. Frantically, he slashed and stabbed at them, trying to back away at the same time. Hounds came over the rock behind. He jumped to the side as the two groups crashed together, tearing at each other for the chance to be the first to get at his heart. Richard climbed higher, fighting the beasts back, killing any that got close enough. It was a futile effort, he knew. There were more than he would be able to hold back. He released himself into the anger of the sword's magic, fighting with fury as he advanced into their ranks. He couldn't fail Kaelin. Not now. The air seemed filled with yellow teeth, all coming for him. Blood from the killing was everywhere. The world turned to red, and then it turned to flame. Fire erupted all about. Hounds howled in mortal pain. The dragon roared in anger. Scarlet shadows swept over him. Richard's sword cut through the hounds that came close enough. The air smelled of blood and burning fur. Scarlet's claw gripped him around the middle, lifting him away from the leaping, snapping beasts. Richard panted in exhaustion from the fierce fight as the dragon flew to a clearing on another mountain. She set him gently on the ground and landed. Richard, nearly in tears, threw his arms against her red scales, stroking them, and laid his head against her. "Thank you, my friend. You have saved my life. You have saved many lives. You are a dragon of honor."
"I made a bargain, that is all." She snorted a puff of smoke. "Besides, someone has to help you. You can't seem to stay out of trouble on your own."
Richard smiled. "You are the most beautiful beast I have ever seen." Still panting as he tried to catch his breath, he pointed to the plateau. "Scarlet, I need to get to the People's Palace. Will you take me, please?"
"You didn't find your friends?"
"Your brother?" He swallowed the lump in his throat. "My brother has betrayed me. Betrayed me and everyone to Darkin Rahl. I wish people had half the honor of dragons." Scarlet gave a grumble, vibrating the scales on her throat.
"I'm sorry, Richard Cipher. Climb on, I will take you."
The dragon made slow, steady strokes of her wings, lifting him above the sea of clouds that covered the Azrith Plains, carrying him to the last place in the world he would wish to go, had he a choice. The journey, which would have taken him a good part of the day on a horse, took less than an hour on the dragon. She folded her wings back, diving toward the plateau. The wind tore at his clothes as she plunged downward.
From the air, Richard could see how big the People's Palace really was. It was hard to believe it had been made by men. It seemed beyond even a dream. It was like the biggest of cities all melted together into one complex. Scarlet flew once around the plateau, past towers, walls, and roofs. They flashed past in endless variety, making him dizzy. She lifted over the outer wall and swooped down into a vast courtyard, fluttering her wings to stop their descent. There were no guards, no people to be seen. Richard slid down her red scales, landing on his feet with a thump. She swept her head about, then tilted it down, gazing at him. Her ears swiveled forward.
"Are you sure you want me to leave you here?"
Richard nodded, casting his eyes to the ground. Scarlet snorted.
"Then the 6 days are at an end. Our bargain is at an end. The next time I see you, you will be fair game."
Richard smiled up at her. "Fair enough, my friend, but you'll not get the chance. Today I am going to die." Scarlet watched him with one yellow eye.
"Try not to let that happen, Richard Cipher. I would still like to eat you."
Richard's smile widened as he rubbed a glossy scale. "Take care of your little dragon when it hatches. I wish I'd had a chance to see it. It will be beautiful too, I know. I realize you hate flying men about because it's against your will. But thanks for letting me know the joy of flying. I considered it a privilege."
She nodded. "I like flying too."
She let out a puff of smoke.
"You are a rare man, Richard Cipher. I have never seen one the match of you."
"I am the Seeker, the last Seeker." She gave another nod of her big head.
"Take care, Seeker. You have the gift. Use it. Use everything you have to fight. Don't give in. Don't let him rule you. If you are to die, die fighting with everything you have, everything you know. That is the way of a dragon."
"If it were only that easy." Richard looked up at the red dragon.
"Scarlet, before the boundary came down, did you carry Darkenrall into Westland?"
She gave a nod.
"A number of times."
"Where did you take him?"
"To a house bigger than the other houses. It was made of white stone with slate roofs. One time I took him to another, a simple house. He killed a man there. I heard the screams. And once to another simple house.
Michael's house, and his father's, and his own." With the pain of hearing it, Richard looked down at his feet, nodding.
"Thanks, Scarlet."
He fought back the lump in his throat and looked back up. "If Darkenrall ever tries to rule you again, I hope your little dragon will be safe and you will be able to fight to the death. You are too noble to be ruled."
Scarlet gave a dragon's grin and lifted into the air. Richard watched as she circled overhead, looking down at him. Her head turned to the west, and the rest of her followed. Richard watched a few minutes as she became smaller in the distance. He turned to the palace. Richard eyed the guards at an entrance, prepared for a fight, but they only gave a polite nod. A guest returning. The vast halls swallowed him. He knew the general direction of the garden room where Rawl kept the boxes and headed that way. For a long time, he didn't recognize the halls, but after a time, some of them started looking familiar. He recognized the arches and columns, the devotion squares. He passed the hall where Denna's quarters were. He didn't look down it as he walked past the intersection. His mind was in a daze, overpowered by the decision he had made. He was overwhelmed by the very idea of being the one who would deliver the power of Orden to Darkenrall. He knew he would be saving Kaelin from a worse fate, and many others from death, but he still felt like a traitor. He wished it could be anyone but him who would help Rawl. But no one else could. Only he had the answers Rawl needed. He stopped at a devotion square with a pool, and watched the fish gliding through the water as he stared at the ripples.
Fight with everything he knew, Scarlet had said. What would that gain him? What would that gain anyone? The same in the end, or worse. He could gamble with his own life, but not with everyone else's, not with Kalin's. He was here to help Darkin Rawl, and that was what he had to do. His mind was made up. The bell for devotion tolled. Richard watched people gather around and bow down as they began chanting. Two moored Sith dressed in red leather approached and eyed him standing there. This was no time for trouble. He went to his knees, touched his forehead to the tile, and began chanting the devotion. Since he had already decided, there was no reason to think, and he let his mind go empty. Master Rawl, guide us, Master Rawl, teach us, Master Rawl, protect us. In your light we thrive, in your mercy we are sheltered, in your wisdom we are humbled. We live only to serve, our lives are yours. He chanted over and over, letting himself go, letting his worry go. His mind calmed as he sought the peace within and joined with it. A thought caught the words in his throat. If he was going to give a devotion, it was going to be one that meant something to him. He changed the words. Kalin, guide me. Kalin, teach me. Kalin, protect me. In your light I thrive. In your mercy I am sheltered. In your wisdom I am humbled. I live only to love you. My life is yours. The shock of realization made him sit bolt upright on his heels, his eyes wide. He knew what he must do. Zed had told him that most of the things people believed were wrong. Wizard's first rule. He had been the fool long enough, listened to others enough. He avoided the truth no longer. A smile spread on his face. He stood. He believed with all his heart. Excited, he turned, stepping among the people chanting the devotion on their knees. The two moored Sith rose. They stood, grim-faced, shoulder to shoulder, blocking his way. He jerked to a halt. The one with blonde hair and blue eyes brought her Aegil up in a menacing posture, waving it in front of him. No one is allowed to miss a devotion. No one. Richard returned the threatening glare. I am the Seeker. He lifted Denna's Aegil in his fist. Mate to Denna, I am the one who killed her. Killed her with the magic by which she held me. I have said my last devotion to Father Rawl. The next move you make will determine if you live or die. Choose. An eyebrow lifted over a cold blue eye. The two moored Sith glanced at each other, then stepped aside. Richard marched off to the Garden of Life, to Darkin Rawl. Zed warily scanned the edges as they ascended the road up the side of the plateau, the surroundings brightening the higher they went. The three of them emerged from a fog into mid-morning sunlight. Ahead, a drawbridge began lowering, the catch on the gears clattering as the span lowered across a chasm. Chase loosened the short sword in the scabbard over his shoulder when the lowering bridge revealed a couple of dozen soldiers waiting on the other side. Not one of the soldiers brought a weapon to hand, nor did they move to block the way, but stood at ease to the side, seemingly disinterested in the three. Kalin gave them no notice as she strode past. Chase did. He looked like a man about to preside over a slaughter. The guards nodded and smiled politely. The boundary warden leaned a little closer to Zed, but kept his eyes on the well-armed soldiers.
I don't like this. It's too easy.
Zed smiled.
If Darkin Rawl is to kill us, he must first let us get to where we are to be killed.
Chase frowned over at the wizard.
That doesn't make me feel any better.
Zed put his hand on Chase's shoulder.
No loss of honor, my friend. Go home before the door closes behind us forever.
Chase stiffened.
Not until it is done.
Zed nodded and walked a little faster to stay close to Kalin. When they gained the top of the plateau, they were confronted by a huge wall stretching off to either side. The battlements at the top were alive with men. Kalin didn't pause but marched toward the gate. Straining with the weight, two guards pushed the immense doors back as she approached. She didn't lose a step as she went through the opening in the wall. Chase glared at the captain of the guards.
You let anyone in?
The captain gave a surprised stare.
She was expected by Master Roll.
Chase grunted and followed after.
So much for our sneaking up on him.
One does not sneak up on a wizard of Rawl's talents.
Chase grabbed Zed's arm.
Wizard? Roll is a wizard?
Zed frowned at him.
Of course. How do you suppose he is able to command magic the way he does? He is descended from a long line of wizards.
Chase seemed annoyed.
I thought wizards were only supposed to help people, not rule them.
Zed let out a deep breath.
Before some of us decided to no longer interfere with the affairs of man, wizards used to rule. There was a rift, the wizard wars, as they were known. A few on their side survived and continued to follow the old ways, continued to take power for themselves, continued to rule people. Darken Rawl is a direct descendant of that line, the House of Rawl. He was born with a gift. Not all are, but he uses it only for himself. He is a person who does not bear the burden of conscience.
Chase fell silent as they ascended a hillside of steps, passing into the shade between fluted columns and through an opening surrounded by carved stone vines and leaves. They entered the halls. Chase's head swiveled about, astonished by the size, the beauty, the sheer overwhelming volume of polished stone about them. Kaelin walked down the center of the vast hall, seeing none of it, the folds of her dress flowing fluidly behind her, the soft sound of her boots on the stone whispering into the cavernous distance. People dressed in white robes strolled the halls. A few sat on marble benches, and others knelt at squares with a stone and bell, meditating. All wore the same perpetual smile of the divinely deluded, the peaceful countenance of those self-assured in their fantasy of certainty and understanding. Truth was only a shifting fog to them, to be burned off by the light of their convoluted reasoning. Followers, disciples of Darken Rawl, one and all. Most paid the three no attention, giving them no more than a vacant nod. Zed caught a glimpse of two moored Sith, proud in their red leather, sauntering up a side hall toward them. When they saw Kaelin, saw the twin red lightning bolts of the Khan Dar painted across her face, the two blanched, reversed course, and quickly vanished. The route they followed took them to an intersection of enormous halls built in the pattern of a wheel. Stained glass windows that formed the hub high overhead let in sunlight that streamed in colored shafts through the cavernous central area. Kaelin stopped and turned her green eyes to the wizard.
Which way?
Zed pointed down a hall to the right. Kaelin started off without hesitation.
How do you know where we're going?
Chase asked.
Two ways. First, the people's palace is built on a pattern I recognize. The pattern of a magic spell. The entire palace is one giant spell drawn on the face of the ground. It's a power spell meant to protect Darken Rawl, keep him safe here, amplify his power. It's a spell drawn to protect him from other wizards. I have very little power here. I am next to helpless. The core of it is a place called the Garden of Life. Darken Rawl will be there.
Chase gave a troubled look.
What's the second?
Zed hesitated.
The boxes. Their covers are removed. I can sense them. They, too, are in the Garden of Life.
Something was wrong. He knew what it was to sense one of the boxes, and two should be twice as strong. But the feeling wasn't. It was three times as strong. The wizard directed the Mother Confessor down the proper halls as they came to them, and up the proper stairways as they appeared. Each hall, each different level, had stone of unique color or type. In some places, the columns stood several levels high. Balconies between them looked down on the hall. Stairways were all marble, each of a different color.
They passed huge statues standing like stone sentinels at the walls to each side. The three walked for several hours, working their way higher into the center of the people's palace. It was impossible to go in a straight course. There was none. At last, they came to closed doors, carved in a country scene, clad in gold. Kaelin stopped and looked to the wizard.
"This is the place, dear one. The Garden of Life. The boxes are in here. Dark and Rawl will be, too."
She gave him a deep stare.
"Thank you, Zed. And you, too, Chase."
Kaelin turned to the door, but Zed put his hand gently on her shoulder and turned her back around.
"Dark and Rawl has only two boxes. He will be dead soon, without your help."
Her eyes were cold fire in the heart of the sharp, red lightning bolts drawn on her resolute face.
"Then I have no time to waste."
She pushed the doors open and strode into the Garden of Life. Chapter 49. The fragrance of flowers engulfed them as they stepped into the Garden of Life. Zed knew immediately that something was wrong. There was no doubt. All three boxes were in the room. He had been wrong. Rawl did have all three. He sensed something else, too, something out of place. But with his power diminished, he couldn't put his trust in the feeling. With Chase at his heels, Zed stayed close behind Kaelin as she walked along the path, among the trees, past the vine-covered walls and colorful flowers. They came to grass. Kaelin stopped. Across the lawn was a circle of white sand, sorcerer's sand. In his whole life, Zed had never seen so much of it in one place, never seen more than a pouchful. This much was worth 10 kingdoms. Tiny flecks of prismatic light reflected up at him. With rising trepidation, Zed wondered what Rawl needed with that much sorcerer's sand, what he did with it. He found it hard to take his eyes from the lure of it. Beyond the sorcerer's sand sat a sacrificial altar. There, on the stone altar, were the three boxes of Ordin. Zed's heart felt as if it skipped a beat to see for sure that all three were there together. Each had its cover removed. Each was black as midnight. In front of the boxes, with his back to them, stood Dark and Rawl. Zed raged at seeing the one who had harmed Richard. The sunlight coming straight down from the glass roof lit the white robes and long blonde hair, making them glow. Rawl stood gazing at the boxes, his prizes. Zed felt his face heat. How had Rawl found the last box? How had he gotten it? He dismissed the questions. They were irrelevant. The question was what to do now. With all three, Rawl could open one. Zed watched Kaelin as she stared across at Dark and Rawl. If she could, in fact, touch Rawl with her power, they would be saved. But he doubted that she had the necessary power. In this palace, especially in this room, Zed could feel that his own power was virtually useless. The whole place was one giant spell against any wizard but a Rawl. If Dark and Rawl was to be stopped, only Kaelin could do it. He felt the blood rage emanating from her, the seething fury. Kaelin started across the grass. Zed and Chase followed, but when they had almost reached the sand opposite Rawl, she turned and placed a hand on the wizard's chest.
"Both of you will wait here."
Zed felt the wrath in her eyes and understood it because he shared it. He, too, felt the pain of losing Richard. When Zed's head came up, he was staring into the blue eyes of Dark and Rawl. They held each other's gaze a moment. Rawl's eyes shifted to Kaelin as she walked around the circle of sand, her countenance dead calm. Chase leaned closer and whispered,
"What are we going to do if this doesn't work?"
"We are going to die."
Zed's hopes lifted when he saw the look of alarm on Dark and Rawl's face. Alarm and fear at seeing Kaelin painted with the twin lightning bolts of the Khandar. Zed smiled. Dark and Rawl hadn't counted on that and appeared to be frightened by it. The alarm turned to action, As Kalin approached, Darkin Rahl suddenly drew the Sword of Truth. It hissed, coming out, and it came out white. He held it out, stopping Kalin at its point. They were too close to be stopped now. Zed had to help her use the only thing that could save them. The wizard used every bit of strength he had, which wasn't as much as he wished, and threw a bolt of lightning across the white sorcerer's sand. He drained all his power into it. The blue lightning hit the sword, knocking it from Rahl's hands. It flew through the air, landing a good distance away. Darkin Rahl screamed something to Zed, then turned to Kalin, speaking to her, but neither could understand him. Darkin Rahl backed away as Kalin advanced. He bumped into the altar, able to back away no farther. He ran his fingers through his hair as Kalin stopped in front of him. Zed's smile faded. Something was wrong. The way Rahl ran his fingers through his hair sparked his memory. The Mother Confessor reached out and seized Darkin Rahl by the throat.
"This is for Richard."
Zed's eyes went wide. Ice flashed through him. He understood what was wrong. He gasped in recognition. That wasn't Darkin Rahl. Zed screamed, "Kalin, no, stop, that's..." There was an impact to the air, thunder with no sound. The leaves on the trees about shuddered. The grass shook in a wave, radiating outward.
"Richard!"
Too late, the wizard realized the truth. Pain gripped him.
"Mistress,"
he whispered, falling to his knees before her. Zed stood frozen. Despair crushed the elation of Richard being alive. A vine-covered door in a wall to the side opened. The real Darkin Rahl emerged, followed by Michael and two big guards. Kalin blinked in confusion. The enemy web wavered, and in a shimmer of light, the one who had been Darkin Rahl was returned to who he really was. Richard. Kalin's eyes went wide in horror as she backed away. The power of the Khandar faltered and extinguished. She screamed in anguish at what she had done. The two guards stepped behind her. Chase reached up for his sword. He was frozen in place before his hand reached it. Zed brought his hands up, but there was no power left. Nothing happened. He ran for them, but before he could take two steps, he hit an invisible wall. He was encased in it, held like a prisoner in a stone cell. He railed in rage at his own stupidity. At seeing what she had done, Kalin yanked a knife from the belt of a guard. With a cry of anguish, she held it up in both hands to plunge it into herself. Michael grabbed her from behind, twisted the knife from her hands, and held it to her throat. Richard launched himself in a fury at his brother, but crashed into an invisible wall and was knocked back. Kalin had expended all her energy in the Khandar and was too weak to fight back. She collapsed in tears. One of the guards tied a gag to her mouth, preventing her from even mumbling Richard's name. Richard, on his knees, fell against Darkin Rahl, gripping his robes, pleading up to him, "Don't hurt her! Please, don't hurt her!" Darkin Rahl put a hand on Richard's shoulder. "So glad to see you have come back, Richard. I thought you might. I'm glad you've decided to help me. I admire your devotion to your friends." Zed was bewildered. What help could Darkin Rahl possibly need from Richard? "Please," Richard begged in tears, "don't hurt her." "Well now, that's entirely up to you." He pulled Richard's hands from his robes.
"Anything, I'll do anything, just don't hurt her."
A smile spread on Darkin Rahl's lips. He licked the tips of his fingers. He ran his other hand through Richard's hair.
"I'm sorry it had to be this way, Richard. I really am. It would have been a pleasure having you around as you were. Although you don't realize it, you and I are very much alike. But I'm afraid you have fallen victim to the wizard's first rule."
"Don't hurt Mistress Kalin," Richard cried. "Please."
"If you do as I say, I will do as I promised, and she will be treated well. I may even turn you into something pleasant. Something you would like to be. Maybe a lap dog. I may even let you sleep in our bedchamber so you might see that I keep my word. Maybe I will even name my son in honor of you for helping me. Would you like that? Richard Rahl. Sort of ironic, don't you think? Do whatever you want with me, but please don't hurt Mistress Kaelin. Tell me what you want me to do, please.
Darkenrall patted Richard's head.
Soon, my son, soon. Wait here.
Darkenrall left Richard on his knees and glided around the circle of white sand to Zed. The blue eyes locked on the old man as he came. Zed felt hollow, empty. Rall stopped in front of him and licked his fingers, stroking them over his eyebrows.
What is your name, old one?
Zed stared back, his hopes destroyed.
Zedekus Zul Zorander.
He held his chin up.
I am the one who killed your father.
Darkenrall nodded.
And do you know that your wizard's fire also burned me? Do you know it almost killed me when I was but a child, and that I spent months in agony, and that to this day I carry the scars of what you did, both those on the outside and others on the inside? I'm sorry I hurt a child, regardless of who the child was, but in this case I would call it premature punishment.
Rawl's face remained pleasant, the hint of a smile still on his lips.
We are going to have a long time together, you and I. I am going to teach you of the pain I endured, and more. You will know what it was like.
Zed gave a bitter look.
Nothing could match the pain you have already given me.
Darkenrall licked his fingertips as he turned away.
We will see.
Zed watched in hopeless frustration as Rawl returned to stand once more in front of Richard.
Richard! Zed screamed. Don't help him! Kaelin would rather die than have you help him!
Richard looked blankly to the wizard before he gazed up at Darkenrall.
I'll do anything if you don't hurt her.
Darkenrall motioned him to his feet.
You have my word, my son. If you do as I ask.
Richard nodded.
Recite the Book of Counted Shadows.
Zed reeled in shock. Richard turned to Kaelin.
What should I do, mistress?
Kaelin struggled against Michael, against the knife at her throat, screamed muffled words against the gag. Rawl's voice was calm, gentle.
Recite the Book of Counted Shadows, Richard, or I will have Michael start by cutting off her fingers, one at a time. The longer you remain silent, the more he will cut her.
Richard spun back to Rawl, panic in his eyes.
Verification of the truth of the words of the Book of Counted Shadows, if spoken by another, rather than read by the one who commands the foxes, can only be ensured by the use of a confessor.
Zed sank to the ground. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. As he listened to Richard reading out the book, he knew it was true. He recognized the unique syntax of a book of magic. Richard couldn't be making it up. It was the Book of Counted Shadows.
Zed didn't have the strength to wonder at how Richard had learned it.
The world, as they knew it, was ending. This was the first day of the rule of Rawl. All was lost. Darkenrall had won. The world was his.
Zed sat numbly, listening.
Some of the words themselves were magic, and none but one with the gift could keep the words in his head. The magic would erase the whole of it at certain magic trigger words. Protection against unseen circumstances. Protection against just anyone getting hold of the magic within. That Richard could recite them was proof he was born to it. Born of and to the magic. As much as Richard hated the magic, he was magic, as the prophecies foretold.
Zed mourned the things he had done. Mourned that he had tried to protect Richard from the forces that would have sought to use him had they known what he was.
Those born with the gift were always vulnerable when they were young. Darkenrall was proof of that.
Zed had deliberately chosen not to teach Richard as a way of protecting him from those forces learning of him. Zed had always feared and hoped that Richard had the gift, but had hoped he would grow before it manifested itself. And then Zed might have the time to teach him when he was strong enough, when he was old enough, and before it could kill him. It had been a futile effort. It had come to no good end. Zed guessed that he had always known Richard had the gift, was someone special. Everyone who knew Richard knew he was someone special, rare, the mark of magic. Zed wept as he recalled the time he had enjoyed with Richard. They had been good years. None had been better in his life. The years away from the magic, to have someone love him without fear and only for himself, to be a friend. Richard read out the book without hesitation or a single falter. Zed marveled that he knew it so perfectly and caught himself being proud, but then wished Richard weren't so talented. Much of what he recited was about things already finished with, such as removing the covers from the boxes. But Darkenrall didn't stop him or hurry him over those sections for fear that he might miss something. He let Richard recite it at his own pace and stood mute, listening carefully. Occasionally, Rall had him repeat a section to be sure he had it right and stood absorbed in thought as Richard told of sun angles, of clouds, of wind patterns. The afternoon wore on. Richard reciting, Rall standing before him listening, Michael with a knife at Kaelin's throat, the two guards holding her arms, Chase frozen in place, his hand halfway to his sword, and Zed sitting on the ground, doomed, locked in his invisible prison. Zed realized that the procedure for opening the boxes was going to take longer than he would have thought. It would take all night. There were enchantments to be drawn. That was the reason Darkenrall needed so much sorcerer's sand. The boxes had to be placed just so, the winter's first sun touching them, dictating their position once they each cast a shadow. Each box, although they looked identical, cast a different shadow. As the sun sank lower in the sky, the fingers of shadows grew away from each box. One of the boxes cast a single finger of shadow, another cast two fingers of shadow, and the third cast three. Now he knew why it was called the Book of Counted Shadows. At the proper places in the book, Darkenrall had Richard stop while the enchantments were drawn in the sorcerer's sand. Some of the spells were called by names Zed had never heard before, but Rall had. He drew without hesitation. When darkness fell, he lit torches in a ring around the sand. Under the light of the torches, he drew the enchantments as they were called for. Everyone stood in silence, watching as he carefully drew in the sand. Zed was impressed by his level of skill at drawing the charms, and was more than a little uneasy at seeing underworld runes. The geometric patterns were complex, and Zed knew they must be done without error and in the proper order, each line drawn at the proper time in the proper sequence. They could not be corrected or erased and started over if there was a mistake. A mistake was death. Zed had known wizards who had spent years studying a spell before they would dare to attempt drawing it in sorcerer's sand for fear of making a fatal mistake. Darkenrall didn't look to be having the slightest trouble. His steady hand moved with precision. Zed had never seen a wizard of his talents. At least, he thought bitterly, they would be killed by the best. He couldn't help admiring the level of mastery. It was a magnitude of proficiency he had never witnessed before. All of this endeavor was simply to tell which box was the one Rall wanted. He could open one at any time, the book stated. Zed knew from other books of instruction that all this effort was a precaution against the magic being used easily. No one was simply going to decide to be the master of the world and read how in a book of magic. Zed, as much as he knew, didn't have the required knowledge to carry out the instructions. Darkenrall had been studying for this moment almost his whole life. His father had probably begun the instruction when he was young. Zed wished the wizard's fire that had killed his father had killed Darkenrall, too. He considered that thought a moment, and then took it back. At dawn, after all the enchantments were drawn, the boxes were placed on them. Each box, distinguished by the number of shadows it threw, was placed on a specific drawing. Spells were cast. As the rays of sun from the second day of winter lit the stone, the boxes were placed on the altar once more. Zed was amazed to see that the boxes that had thrown a particular number of shadows the day before now threw a different number, another precaution. As directed, the boxes were rearranged so the one throwing a single shadow was to the left, the one that threw two was in the center, and the one that threw three was to the right. Darkenrall stared at the black boxes. "Continue." Without hesitation, Richard went on. "Once so arranged, Orden is at the ready to be commanded. Where one shadow is insufficient to gain the power to sustain the life of the player, and three more than can be tolerated by all life, the balance is struck by opening the box with two shadows. One shadow for yourself, and one for the world that would be yours to command by the power of Orden. One world under one command is marked by the box with two shadows. Open it to gain your reward." Darkenrall's face turned slowly to Richard. "Go on." Richard blinked. "Rule as you have chosen." "That is the end." "There must be more." "No, Master Rall. Rule as you have chosen. That's the end, the last words." Rall grabbed Richard's throat.
"Did you learn it all? The entire book?"
"Yes, Master Rall."
Rall's face reddened.
"That can't be right. That isn't the right box. The box with two shadows is the one that will kill me. I told you I learned that much. I learned which one will kill me. I have told you every word true. Every single word."
Darkenrall released his throat.
"I don't believe you."
He looked to Michael.
"Cut her throat."
Richard fell to his knees with a scream.
"Please! You gave me your word. You said if I told you, you wouldn't harm her. Please, I've told you the truth."
Rall held his hand up to Michael, but kept his eyes on Richard.
"I don't believe you.
Unless you tell me the truth, right now, I will cut her open. I will kill your mistress."
"No!"
Richard screamed.
"I have told you the truth. I can't tell you anything different. It would be a lie."
"Last chance, Richard.
Tell me the truth, or she dies."
"I can't tell you anything differently,"
Richard cried.
"Anything different would be a lie. I have told you every word true."
Zed came to his feet. He watched the knife at Kaelin's throat. Her green eyes were wide. He watched Darkenrall. Rall had obviously found some of the information from a source other than the Book of Counted Shadows, and that information was in conflict with the information in the book. This was not uncommon. Surely Darkenrall must know that. When there was a conflict, the information in the instruction book for that specific magic must always take precedence. To do otherwise was always fatal. It was a safeguard to protect the magic. Zed hoped against hope that Rawl's arrogance would make him go against the book. The smile came back to Darkenrall's face. He licked his fingertips, wiped them on his eyebrows.
"All right, Richard. I just had to be sure you were telling me the truth."
"I am. I swear on Mistress Kaelin's life. Every word I told you is true."
Rawl nodded. He gave a wave of his hand to Michael. Michael relaxed the knife. Kaelin closed her eyes as tears ran down her cheeks. Rall turned to the boxes, letting out a deep breath.
"At last," he whispered, "the magic of Orden is mine."
Zed couldn't see it, but he knew that Darkenrall lifted the lid on the middle box, the one with two shadows. He could tell by the light expanding from it. Golden light lifted, and as if it were a great weight, it settled over Master Rall, lighting him in a golden glow.